appropriations.
Right.
15 minutes. I'm gonna go fast.
So we don't need much transition time, because nobody's gonna sit over there. Bring up Doug, and Dante's back. He's assigned seat. Excellent. So we have just a few minutes to talk through special appropriations, and we set this time aside really just to make sure that commissioners and council offices are aware of sort of what's there. What you will see in your binders is a little bit different than the list you're getting handed right now that should be coming around. Let me jump to that in the binder. So we did receive some requests back with requested budgets from bureaus, and that is what you're going to see in your binder in terms of what's in the city budget office analysis. There are only a handful of those, and I do want to add there is one Open Meadow, which did come in with other requested budget items back in early February and somehow did not make it onto this list. So that, again, was submitted. And so you'll see in this list it just came around. Thank you. Pass these around. And so, again, these did not make it into your binder, but they should have. So of this list, the items that are in green in the middle of the page, those are the ones that, again, are in your binder, and you can see all the backup information that was submitted by council offices for those. The other items on here, and we're calling this a sort of possible special appropriation request. We have heard of a number of things since that time period, and so this is definitely what I would consider a draft list. And we've indicated the requesting commissioner to the extent that we know it. Although I do know the mayor, a number of these requests, some of these requests are from his office, some of these requests are things he heard from other council offices, and some of the things he heard from the community in terms of that list. But I'm going to go very, very quickly through this. I'm not going to go into any detail on these. Commissioners who are here who have sponsored these want to go into a little bit more detail should feel free to do so. And then at the end, we can sort of, if there are any questions that we can take back to get additional information on or anything else that people feel like may be missing, that would be useful. So, and the other thing I will note is, as Commissioner Fritz pointed out earlier, there are a few of these at the top that are that have bureaus next to them. And the reason for that is we have, over the last couple of years, tried to attempt to move as many things out of special appropriations into relevant bureaus as possible. And the reason for that really is administrative. Things that are in special appropriations tend to be managed either by the commissioner's office or by the city budget office. We don't often have the types of staff that do the contract management and payments and so forth. And so we've tried to move these to the extent we can into bureaus, which tend to have larger staff that are used to doing those types of things. They get handled a little bit better, frankly, I think, when that happens. What you're seeing here are requests that did not come in as part of the bureau requested budgets that had been special appropriations in the past, but again, have been part of a bureau budget most recently. So Zenger Farms is the first one. It's a $30,000 request, and again, coming from Commissioner Fish's office. Salmon Safe, this is a continuation.
Could you just tell us what it's for, though?
Well, I actually, on that one, I need to get back to you on the Zenger Farm.
So we don't, okay.
I can tell you about some of these, but again, I don't have a lot of supporting information on some of them. I believe that's a continuation, though, of some of the support we've given in the past, just organizational support for Zenger Farm. Salmon Safe is continuing a special appropriation that has been in place, and it's getting Salmon Safe certification for the city and city programs.
And why is that one time not ongoing?
I believe it's something that you get the certification, and that's what we're working towards. I don't know if there will be ongoing costs related to it, though, once we are certified as Salmon Safe, but it's a follow-up question I'll be happy to look into. East Portland Action Plan for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, again, this is something that has been one-time funded for many, many years, and we are showing it here as potential ongoing funding, and that was, again, the recommendation coming out of the budget note from the past year to make that funding.
So why wasn't that just included in the forecasted budget, since it was a budget note?
Council hasn't authorized it to
but
be included.
But we approved the budget note.
You approved the budget note asking the committee to come back with a report. They came back with a report. I don't remember when that report came back to council.
Oh, right. Okay.
But that way it was just a report.
And it's proposed to keep it in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement.
Yes. And I will say in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, which we haven't talked about, but their budget hearing is on Monday, we do talk some in the CBO analysis about sort of the per capita equity throughout the city and the East Portland Neighborhood Office versus the East Portland Action Plan. And so that's in the ONI analysis as well. Commissioner Novick, would you like to talk about the next one?
Yes. Apano has asked us.
Apano has asked us for some money to do some necessary repairs, deep cleaning of a former furniture store that has been that is currently owned by Metro that they'd like to turn into a community center, and so there's just some initial startup cost of doing that. They hope that over the long term they'd be able to continue to lease that space from Metro, but in the short term, they'd like it to be a community center. It's actually for the Jade District. Apano is sort of acting as the agent for the Jade District. So the community center could be used in possibly, for example, for an extension of the Jade Night Market. But the building has been unoccupied for a while, and it needs some work to be habitable.
That's for the 20,000 request, right, in the green?
So that's the,
yes.
Right. I think...
I'm sorry, I was confused. No, the the one we were actually supposed to be talking about is adding Apano to the DCL program, because Apano is...
What is the DCL?
The Diversity and Civic Leadership Program within ONI, which includes currently the Latino Network and the Urban League and ERCO and a variety of other organizations, and it seems to me that the absence of Apano from that list is rather striking, and I was not certain that ONI was going to ask for an extension of the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program to include Apano, so to be sure that that request was on the table, I asked for it as a special appropriation.
And just so the folks know, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement budget is going to be asking to increase the Diversity and Civic Leadership Partner allocation to $128,000, so that If it is funded, it should be funded at presumably at the same level as the other five organizations. The other challenge, though, is that there are three other organizations that are also wanting to be part of the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program, so I think you may hear something about that on Monday.
The next request is for the Vos Workers Center. This is something the city has provided one-time funding for in the past. In the current budget, it was put into PDC's budget as a one-time request, but again, one-time and not ongoing, and so it's on the table now for discussion as an ongoing request.
And again, I thought we put a budget note in for that to be ongoing.
I don't.
Could you double-check?
I will double-check, yeah.
Did they figure out the lease issue with Vos and whether it can remain at that location?
I don't know. Happy to look into it.
I think they're still working with PDC on it.
Okay.
There is a Willamette River Access Package request, $100,000, general fund one time. And again, we think that would probably best be suited in parks. But Commissioner, I don't know if you have any information on that or not.
Yep, it's Mayor Hale's app.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if you knew anything, so we can provide some more about that as well. The next, these came up a little bit during the Police Bureau conversation, the Boys Strength, Cheers, Hooper, and LifeWorks. Again, these have been one-time funded programs in the Police Bureau. And so, again, putting back on the table and putting back on the table for discussion is ongoing, since, again, these have been what we would call the serial one-time requests for many years in a row. Commissioner Novick talked about the Apano issue there, and the Southwest Corridor Transit Project. Commissioner, I think may be best suited for the transportation conversation, unless you wanted to address it now.
It's listed as a special appropriation rather than as part of the PBOT budget, because having high capacity transit in the Southwest Corridor was identified as a citywide priority in the Barber Concept Plan. So I think of it as kind of a planning and sustainability ask, as well as a transportation ask. And what we're asking for is to, I mean, that we talked about last year, the city put $650,000 into the DIS process for Southwest Corridor High Capacity Transit. We're partners with a number of other jurisdictions, which are also putting up money. Metro is putting up 32% of the total, TriMet 29%. We're asked to put up 12%, Washington County 11%, Tigard 4%, et cetera. So what we're hoping is that in the next year, we'll be able to complete the process of identifying a preferred alternative, and this would be the second and final installment of the Portland's contribution to that planning process.
The next three are requests from RAC. These are in addition to the ongoing funding that RAC receives, $200,000 for project grants, $25,000 for the Right Brain Initiative, and $25,000 for Work for Art. The request after that is $5,000 for Cub bill inserts. You may remember when we brought on the Citizens Utility Board, we do put an insert into our water and sewer mailings that essentially talk about the work that the Cub does, and we have paid for that in this past year out of general funds. So again, this request would continue that. The next one, the age-friendly Portland initiative from Commissioner Fish's office. There is, again, as one of these requests that came in earlier, there is some additional information in your binder about that request. And the same thing is true for the 3 to PhD, which I believe is the Concordia University partnership with Fabian Elementary School. And then, again, the Open Meadow request, which did come in at that same time, although unfortunately didn't make in your binders, but it should be there now. And Commissioner Salzman?
Yeah, I'll just be real quick. This is on behalf of Open Meadow. They are relocating their high school campus to East Portland, and it's a very innovative arrangement. They'll be right adjacent to a Boys and Girls Club. So this is a request for $500,000 towards the $7 million capital construction budget. They will work with kids that basically have a high probability of not completing high school, and Open Meadow has a very good track record, I think, of taking these kids and turning them into graduates. And this funding request is time sensitive because Open Meadow needs to secure funding for $1 million new market tax credit this summer. And they hope to break ground on the school this fall. So it's a capital contribution.
And Commissioner, I should just add that I received request for support for this request from somebody affiliated with Open Meadow, and I said, I'll give my standard answer, which is that I only consider supporting it if you're willing to testify that we should get rid of the Meadow Patrol. And this person was the first person to ever say, yes, they're willing to do that.
They're remaining nameless. But
The next request on the list is increasing the funding amount for Future Connect scholarships. Again, there's a base funding amount for Future Connect, so this would be in addition to that, $68,000. SA 25 is increased membership and dues. This is a little bit more of an administrative ask. We have a membership and dues account in special appropriations. It pays for things like our membership in the League of Oregon Cities, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, a handful of other smaller requests. We generally run a little bit over that every year by anywhere from usually about $20,000 to $25,000. So again, the request there is just to true that up with the memberships that the city currently already pays for. A potential request for $190,000 for Symphony in the Park. This is something the city has supported in some years in the past. The Columbia River levy, $129,733. This is a preliminary draft estimate of what the city's share of continuing that study of the levy system would be, although I know that there are still negotiations over that funding amount, and so that dollar amount may change. Gateway Legal Services, $120,000. This came from Mayor Hales, but Commissioner Salzman?
I can speak to this. The Gateway Center for Domestic Violence Services has a contract with Legal Aid for 2 days a week of services for domestic violence victims at the center. It's always been funded on a one-time basis, and Legal Aid is critically important. As you can imagine, if there's a criminal issue, the district attorney's office is available. But for civil issues, which are so important to many survivors, issues over child custody, where if a woman can't gain custody of her child, she may be more likely to stay in an abusive relationship. So we found that Legal Aid services is really one of the most critically needed services at the Gateway Center. And this is a proposal to get it off of one-time funding and also to increase the presence at the Gateway Center from 2 days a week to 4 days a week, because it is so so necessary. So it's $120,000 ongoing for a contract with Legal Aid to provide 4 days of service per week at the Gateway Center.
The next request, $100,000 for the Rose Festival Foundation. This is something I have heard about. I do not actually have a commissioner sponsor on this, so To the extent we create a decision package, we will need to have at least one council office formally request that. My understanding is this is $100,000 to support the Rose Festival, which is something we have done in the past, although we haven't done over the last 2 years. $300,000 for Harper's Playground, and I unfortunately don't have detail on this, but it has to do with reconstructing an existing playground. Again, we'll need to get back to you with more. I think the mayor's office has some additional information on this. $600,000 for removing barriers to employment. I believe that's Ban the Box cost estimate. $500,000 for the central storage, homeless, clean, and safe. Again, this is related to campsite cleanup.
I just want to stop you on because the citizen members of the Budget Committee may not have been a part of the Ban the Box discussion that we had yesterday. Just for comparison, the budget for implementing earned sick time is $60,000. And so we'll be wanting a lot more information about what that $600,000 is proposed to be for. Either that or I want some more reimbursement for how hard my staff have been working on a pittance.
And then the next item, the James Beard, actually that can go ahead and come off. I think there have been some conversation about support, but my understanding is there's some PDC may be able to do some things and other things going on, but not a general fund request at this time, so I'll take that off. And then finally, the New Portlander Policy Commission, $86,000. Just received information on that, and Doug, I don't know if you remember what that...
I don't have any information on that.
So we'll need to provide, again, some information to the Budget Committee on that as well. But I believe that request is... I believe it's for staff in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement.
Andrew, I was wondering if, so in the past we've had some of these organizations come and testify and tell us in great detail. I'm assuming this is the only bite of the apple we're getting on special appropriations this year. So in the CBO recommendations that we got for the ones that are in green, I would call your justifications for the amounts that you're recommending somewhat terse, i.e. none. I feel like that we have a lot less context this year than we have in years past about any kind of information that we might want to weigh in on about the special appropriations.
So we've generally done very limited analysis on the special appropriations. These are things that come in, you know, mostly from outside organizations, although that's not always the case, as with the Southwest Corridor Transit Project. And again, these are things that usually come through council offices. So we tend to provide a few sentences. The ones that we have information about, we provide a few sentences about what those are, but don't weigh in much beyond that. You'll see on the Cub Bill inserts, that was something that council's pretty much just accepted that program, and so we should fund that. And then the $700,000 for the Southwest Corridor Transit Project is a continuation of the money that was appropriated this year, which is why we recommended those. Didn't recommend anything else, which is also consistent with prior years. You do give me a nice segue, which I'll take. Thank you. This is and I think this is always a challenge when we have a surplus. That there are a lot of organizations that are very, very worthy organizations that do a lot of good work, and that when they read about our surplus, they ask the city for funding, and it is council's job to sort of weigh, sift through those and decide which of those essentially are higher priority than city services and core city services, and which of those are not. And I think that really is the key question, and I hope this isn't. I mean, it's a very short period of time. We don't. These work sessions are not intended to be public forums where people come, so it's bureaus that are talking about their budget requests and then their budget advisory committee members. There are public forums, and we do expect to see some of these groups at those forums to talk about why they think these requests are important. There is a financial policy that the city has that essentially says that grants that we make as a city, we should try and avoid making grants for operational support of an organization, of an outside entity. And again, the reason for that is we want to make sure those outside entities are sustainable on their own, and that grants that we're making to outside entities should instead be for specific services that we're receiving in return. And those services, hopefully are connected to something that the city, as a city government, is doing. And I think that's something that, that is a lens that would be useful for the budget committee as a whole to apply as we go through this list. The other thing that I just noted to I noted to the mayor a couple days ago, and I noted to council just in an email today, I think it will be useful. This is a purely administrative logistical request, mostly just to really to help my office, that we set a deadline at some point for when these requests, when we'll at the point we will say, we're sorry, as worthy as that request is, it will need to wait until next year's budget process or even next year's bump, which, you know, could be as early as the fall. Because again, there is $31 million of surplus. That number may change as we get the April forecast. I could see requests coming in all the way up till June 20th, and it will be very chaotic trying to sort of address those. And so I hope council can talk amongst, you know, to one another and sort of figure out what is the appropriate day to say. And I don't think we should go solicit more, because I think there are, again, millions of dollars of very worthy programs in the city. But at some point, do we say, you know, this is it, you're going to need to wait for the next process?
I have a really good book.
Yes.
I was just going to say, too, I think that aligning these with bureaus where it makes sense is a good idea. And I would, I'd like to see more of that, obviously, since they're coming in so late. It's not it. But I do agree that the city policy of making sure that it's tied to service and that you're not sort of just granting the same money in a serial way on one-time money over and over again is a good thing to move away from.
So let the record show that I am not requesting any special appropriations. I do support some of them, but I think we really need to focus on core city services, especially this year. I will be asking Commissioner Fish about the Age-Friendly Portland initiative. I'm surprised to see that number so high, and I'm wondering what it's for, but that is something that we have supported in the past. So I didn't actually see the right at your analysis.
And there is, just so you know, in the binder, there is a detailed budget for that particular
okay.
request.
So I will check on that.
So I'm going to ask an awkward question. And you know, I'll preface it by saying there are many laudable programs on here, and I would particularly call out the East Portland Action Plan, which I think should be a core program of ONI on an ongoing basis. It's incredibly useful to focus community input to the work we do on Planning Commission. But I'm going to ask what I'll call the Brad Schmidt Memorial question. You know, the mayor and Commissioner know that
he's not dead yet.
Wishful thinking. The mayor and Commissioner Novick have been, you know, going around with a tin cup trying to find money for PBOT from a skeptical public. You know, when citizens see that we spend money on these things that are not core programs, it makes it harder to convince them they should give us a new revenue source for transportation. So why wouldn't we roll up the surplus and give it to PBOT to keep working on maintaining the streets rather than doing this? And it's really a rhetorical question for council. I mean, I could give an answer myself. I'm not going to try to, but I just want to put it out there.
So I think that's a good point. And my principle is going to be supporting the one time to ongoing, because we need to true up the budget. And we're nearly done with that. When I got here in 2009, there were a long list of things which were really core city programs, and over the course of the recession we sometimes funded them with one-time money just to keep them going. So I'm really hopeful that we can use at least some of the extra money to put the one-times into the ongoing, and where needed, as Commissioner Saltzman just said, with the Gateway Legal Services, $120,000 to provide 4 days of legal services a week seems like a pretty good deal. But some of the other things, like the Symphony in the Park, was one-time funded last year. It's for one evening, $190,000, and it's proposed to be ongoing. And I had a group in my office last year saying, you know, let's work together to save this. Let's have a beer garden. Let's look at fundraising. Let's do all kinds of things. And then because it was funded in the city budget, none of that happened. And here it is in the request for ongoing. So, and similarly with the requests for money for private entities. So Open Meadow, I think, is a different issue because it's a public, it's a nonprofit, but it serves the public schools. The issue, just so you know, for that, I think, is that it's 51% Portland students and 49% students who don't live in Portland. So I would like to see that added to the mayor's list for negotiating with the county to make sure that if, at the very least, if we're going to give $500,000 that the county is as well. But, you know, for the Concordia Fabian partnership, yeah, it's great, and it benefits a private college. There's going to be a request, I would expect, coming in right before the deadline to help fund the so-called Unity Center, which is the new mental health care emergency center that Legacy is hoping to set up. A very worthy goal that indeed will help our police officers, but it's a private business that is setting that up. And I don't think we should be using city money, as much as I want to have better services for people with mental illnesses. It's not our role. If it's anybody's role, it's the county's role, but it's not the city's role. And we have moved away. Mayor Hales renegotiated with the county so that we're no longer funding ongoing services at the CATSI. The county is. Cheers and Hooper really are mostly serving our police officers in giving them somewhere, a way to connect people to services. So I'm really supportive of that going into one time, into ongoing. Those are the lenses that I'm going to be looking through, and why, where I had particular one-time or ongoing request, I attached them to my bureau's budget rather than putting them in special appropriations.
So, I mean, I think that we should be focusing on core services, but here's my perhaps, and I don't know how to describe it, a charitable response to the question, which is, or maybe indulgent response to the question, which is, we're talking about requests that add up to $3.4 million, actually five-something million dollars, which is a bit over 1% of the total general fund budget. So I do think that it's important for people to understand that even if we granted every one of these requests, it's not like we'd be spending 50% of the general fund on riotous living. The things I've asked for, I mean, one of them is the Southwest Corridor Transit Project, which has been previously long identified as a city priority. Another is to add a Pano to the DCO program, which I think is an oversight of what should have been part of a core city responsibility. So I'm really asking for $20,000 for something that is arguably, you know, a one-time thing, which you could argue is outside of our core responsibilities. But I do think it's important to remember that I don't think there's any entity, including families, that spend 100% of their money in what people might think are their core responsibilities. You might think that for a family, their core responsibilities are to pay off the mortgage and save for retirement and college and have enough clothing and food to get by. And some families are fairly adherent to that, those limitations. But I think pretty much every family occasionally goes out to a movie. And if they don't, they regret that they simply can't afford to do it. So to ask governments to behave in a way that no family does and to never spend any money on anything that could possibly be criticized, I think is actually asking too much.
Okay, thank you. And I apologize to Brad Schmidt. I don't really wish he was dead. thanks for the response.
So when is there an importance to you, your office, for having a deadline for these requests? I mean, and if so, when would that be?
From a purely logistical standpoint, at each stage of the process, the proposed, approved, and adopted budget, that's obviously a cutoff point. It can be amended, you know, at that point. I mean, from a very logistical standpoint, we need to create anything that gets funded needs to have a package in the budget system. That can be done, again, as late as the adoption, you know, of a particular item. I would recommend that we set a time in early April, say April 6th, I think, which is a Monday, and sort of say, okay, things that are on the table at this point, you know, we'll consider. Things that are that aren't, it doesn't mean they won't ever be considered by the city. It means that they're going to wait, though, until the fall bump surplus, next year's budget process, something along those lines. So
April 6th would be ideal from your point.
That would be my suggestion. Thank you.
It's only 5 minutes late.
And so just as that wrap up, we are back on Monday. Next week, I think we have 3 budget hearings, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. So
Roger that.
Fun week. Tuesday.